You're listening to the Governors Podcast, which is hosted by school governors, for school governors, and for all involved in or impacted by education governance. On the Governors Podcast, we have open, honest, and transparent discussions about governance in the UK education sector, sharing and providing insights into the realities of entering the boardroom, sitting around the governing board table, and leaning in.
Hello, I'm Sharon Warmington and I support schools and academies as a governor, governance practitioner and a clerk. I'm also the CEO of the National Black Governors Network, supporting the education sector in diversifying their governing boards.
And it's Olivia D. Hind here, an under 30, unapologetically black female who is changing the face and space of school governance.
And you're listening to the Governors Podcast. Okay, let's get into today's topic.
How would you prefer to receive your meeting papers?
Wow, that's a big question because as a clerk, I know what I do for my governors.
Okay.
But as a governor, I don't get the papers the way I need them.
Okay.
To make it easy. And I'll explain that a bit more.
Yeah, probably start off with saying like the different ways that papers are usually sent to governors.
Okay, for those who are listening who are not governors, ahead of each meeting, usually within 7 days is the standard.
Mm-hmm.
That's seven full days, mm-hmm. five school days,
mm-hmm.
usually. You will receive a meeting pack and it will have the agenda, the minutes of the previous meeting, and then all the papers
that are associated
with the agenda,
mm-hmm.
that you need to read in advance and where possible prepare questions, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a member of a number of organizations, shall we say,
mm-hmm.
and each one sends their papers out differently, but all of them send them out usually by Word.
Oh
yeah,
hold on, they don't PDF them.
So when I get my papers, they're all individual.
Oh,
they're sometimes not numbered, so you don't always know the order in which they come up,
so you have to do a bit of work yourself.
You've got to do a bit of work yourself because the file name that they use isn't necessarily related to the agenda item.
Oh dear.
So you've got to do some kind of investigation work yourself.
But and is this as a clerk?
No, this is me as a board member.
From what you've experienced, governor. In this particular organization.
Yes.
Okay.
And so because of what I do as a clerk,
mm-hmm.
I find myself doing the same thing for my papers when I get them.
So you're doing clerking without having the clerking hat on.
Yes. Because it's the only way in which I can manage my papers. So what I do as a clerk,
mm-hmm.
I will have all my meeting papers, the agenda, the minutes. I number them.
Number the
file name.
Right, okay.
And so, I always have a cover sheet.
Okay.
So the cover sheet would be numbered 0.
Mm-hmm.
The agenda would be numbered 1. Mm-hmm. The minutes numbered 2. And then all the other items would be numbered according to the agenda item. So say if the head teacher's report is
mm-hmm.
number 5,
mm-hmm.
then they're on the agenda, then it would be number 5. So I then PDF every single document. Sometimes Excel spreadsheets are a bit tricky to PDF.
Okay. Yeah.
But I PDF everyone that can possibly be PDF.
So this is a bit of like some tips or advice for those who are in clerking within
deliver. I thought everybody did this, to be fair, until I was delivering a training session to a trust. Clerks,
mm-hmm.
About 10 clerks across one trust. And I said to them, you just PDF them and they merge them. And they're like,
How?
And I was like, oh, I thought that was... Anyway, mm-hmm. so because you've numbered the file,
yes.
when you then PDF them
mm-hmm.
and merge them,
mm-hmm.
you they're in the order that you want them in.
Yes.
And then you are then only handling one document.
And then you're only sending one document. People are only opening one document. And the importance about PDF, just thinking of me as a governor on the receipt of papers,
yes.
is... You can open them then on any device.
Right.
Because you don't know what device people are opening their documents on.
My documents. When I'm preparing for a meeting,
mm-hmm.
I open my documents on my iPad,
mm-hmm.
which I have, and I have an app called Notability that allows me to annotate.
Yeah.
Because I'm a doodler. Mm-hmm. I need to be able to underline, to highlight, to put crosses next to things.
To just draw your attention, especially if the papers are very detailed or there's a lot of pages, then it's a case of it just helps when you're then scrolling through.
Right.
If you read and annotate your notes probably 3-4 days before the meeting.
Exactly.
And then the day before you may just want to refresh your mind. You can scroll through and you can see.
Or even during the meeting.
Make additional
notes. As the report is being presented,
mm-hmm.
you've got any notes that you made so that when the chair says, are there any questions?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want to ask the question directly without any prompt,
mm-hmm.
you've got it there.
Yeah.
You know, because you've already done your prep.
Mm-hmm.
But if the opening up Word documents on an iPad is painful.
Yeah.
On any kind of tablet other than... Because I use Google Docs as well more than I use Word.
Yeah.
So if something's prepared in Word, it opens up differently on Google Docs.
Oh, yeah, because
the Google
software
Docs.
Packages are different, yeah.
So it's really, really important that documents are PDF, not just convenience, but for the protection.
Yeah, because obviously if it's in an editable version, which is the Word version, where, you know, things can be changed or the formatting could be off. But something I was going to say is... think about, have the recipient in mind.
Yes.
So that is how you want to think about it. It's not just a case of, oh yeah, I'll put all the papers together in an email, done, job done. Think how easy or how difficult or how seamless you want it to be for those who are receiving that email. And, you know, even if you are going to do some level of separation, I like the numbering system that you've mentioned, mm-hmm. because then you tend to read in order. And then you attach the documents to your email in order. Otherwise, if it's different, then it means when you're in the meeting, everyone's like, oh, it's this document that starts with this word or it starts with this title or it's got this bit on it rather than page 97.
I really don't understand. Whatever I'm doing, actually, I always think about the person receiving it.
Yes.
And I'm not, this isn't something new. I've been in governance, you know, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I used to do it when we used to print them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you print your documents and you collate them in the order that they're needed.
Yes.
Talking about printed documents.
You know people who still print papers?
I received through my door a package. That was printed single-sided.
These were meeting papers.
No, it wasn't even the full set of meeting papers. It was
a section.
I think it was the finance papers.
Right.
And they were printed single-sided and hand-delivered through my door.
Wow.
And I thought, wow.
We still doing that?
Who's got time to do that?
And you're just one person.
Exactly.
So if you have, what, an average governing body or board of governors has, what, probably 8 people? Usually 8 to 15?
8 to 15, yeah.
Usually averaging that?
Just the cost. I immediately went to the cost of it. I went, not just the cost in terms of printing, but the cost in terms of time.
Yeah.
Whoever stood and printed those and then collated them, and they were so thick they couldn't even be stapled. They weren't even clipped together. And it was
there was no binding whatsoever.
Oh, wow. That's mad. I did actually say in the meeting, you know, I wasn't being funny about it or anything like that. But I did say, look, you know, you don't want to do this again.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's not efficient.
It's not efficient. It's also difficult to... This is me speaking personally. I know there are some people who still prefer printed
no,
papers.
No, but there's a difference between preference and what's just done, what's the done thing. Because if someone requests for printed papers,
yeah, that's
then
different.
There's some, then you can kind of understand, because some people genuinely do not like reading off a screen, or it's hard, or for health reasons or whatever, which you can understand. But if the assumption is, you know what, we'll just print the papers for all the governors, when there could be a governor, like yourself, it sounds, who would prefer to have it electronically so you can do your annotations, then one, you're actually, rather than, say we have a governing body of like 10 people, if 5 of them would prefer printed, then you only print the 5. You don't just print the 10 copies for everyone. Because then, so really know how your governing body prefers to receive information.
And it's not just, I should add, that it wasn't a clerk who printed them and posted them.
Yeah, please.
It was a member of school staff.
please be kind to your class. Yeah.
But another thing is the time management of it, because if you've got the document electronically,
yes,
it means that you could look at it, open it anywhere.
Yes.
With printed papers, I'd left them in the office, and then I found myself, I can't even remember where I was, but delayed through no fault of my own and the other person. So I would usually, in those times, snatch times where I can, if I find myself with a 15-minute time gap to fill,
tap, tap, tap,
instead
open.
Of, you know, watching a video or listening to the radio, I may sit in the car and open my papers
and read
you know, I could read, you know, the minutes in that time and make any notes or whatever, or know that when it comes to then approving the minutes, I'm not saying yes because they're just there.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm saying yes because I have read them and no, there are no amendments.
And yes, it did capture the meeting.
Right. And that's the thing, because that's the way I choose to fulfill my duties.
Yes.
Because I can't always carve out 3 hours to sit and read papers, and I don't want to either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd rather take 15 minutes here, another 30 minutes there, an hour there, you know, and I've always got my iPad with me.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore I need that facility. So for one board where I'm not clerking, I will, when I receive the papers, I will go through that process as if I am a clerk, and I will put a front sheet on it as well, so that when I'm scrolling through, because I attend a lot of meetings, I can see, okay, that's for that meeting, and I
just think you shouldn't have to do that as
a governor. I shouldn't have to do it, but equally I'm also conscious that as a clerk, it's not always possible, and I'm saying it like that because let's be honest, some clerks are so poorly paid that it does take extra time.
Yes, it does. Yeah,
and you can sometimes give more than you are actually paid. Well, clerks do give more than they're actually paid, to be fair. And I don't think it's my right to say to any clerk, you've got to do this, you've got to do that.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is I choose to do that for my governing bodies, and I do that for all of them.
Yeah.
And I've done that, you know,
so that's just way back. Standard.
That's my level. That's what I do as standard.
Mm-hmm.
And so for some, it's, you know, wow, I've never seen this before. For others, they're just used to it. In other settings that they may, it may be the private sector aspect that I'm bringing in,
or even maybe it's rather than see it as the clerk as being solely responsible, it's an organization that looks at their processes, because maybe the writers of those papers, because the clerk isn't creating the documents,
so they should go to the clerk
in PDF to make it easier for the clerk.
So absolutely,
so there's more than one contributor to putting that back together,
and that's why I say the onus isn't on the clerk, because the clerk shouldn't be getting any documents that are not PDF'd, because it does take time.
Mm-hmm.
I have a relationship with some of my SLT where I just know that, you know, I'm going to get it in Word. Sometimes if I get it in Word and it's on time, I just let it go.
You know, if the paper is on time
if the paper is on time, then I just let it go.
But you just know if someone's gonna wait for the last 5 minutes or the last day or it's the morning of, or
because the danger is that sometimes when you PDF something, if within that document pages have been turned landscape or whatever, the PDF can chop that off. Mm-hmm. So you won't know until you sat. And I have sat in meetings and it's been like, that's been chopped off. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking,
Oh, if you gave it to me in a format that wouldn't be affected.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the thing. Mm-hmm. But I know that my governors do appreciate the fact that it's one document as opposed to several.
It does help.
Because as you say, when you're in the meeting, instead of saying, oh, it's the third paper or it's the one titled this, because you don't know how people are opening.
Yeah.
You just scroll. And when you've merged them on a PDF, you can add page numbers as well afterwards. Mm-hmm. And it just helps with the referencing.
Yes.
And then again, as clerk, I sort of try screen in meetings. So I type directly onto my iMac.
Yeah.
I've got my iPad open with the document in PDF form so that I can annotate or scribble on it if I need to.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got my phone next to me in case any governors can't get into the meeting or send me a message or anything like that.
So, issues.
But that's the only way, or that's my preferred way of both clerking and when I'm attending meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So, papers are really important. No printed, not now. Not with the cost of printing the way it is.
Although I think in that, I guess it's a bit, it was amusing to me when you're saying it, because I'm thinking if that is something that happened during lockdown, well, printing didn't happen that much during lockdown. So maybe they thought, oh, I'm not thinking about the cost, because it's not like schools were opening that kind of, but you do want to think about the cost time-wise
it's, and the loss of efficiency
and things like that. But what I did want to get onto is, I guess what interests me is the length of papers, meeting papers sometimes. And so I'm just thinking of when you said the printed copies and it's coming single-sided and it's too big to post in a way or to be bound or anything. So then you're thinking of how long these papers are, because my method is when I receive the email from the clerk with the meeting papers, the first thing I do, the moment that email hits my inbox, I open it, look at how many pages there are, and close it. I'm not intending to start reading immediately, but I just want to
mentally
that's what I need to do. I need to know how much I'm preparing myself for. If I see 72 pages, I'm like, okay, cool. Because then I've got an idea of how long it will take me to go through those 72 pages. If I see 349, I'm like, yo, okay.
This is long.
Okay. I got to do this in chunks. I've either got to do this in chunks or I'm going to beast out an entire day or something. If I see longer than that, and I've seen meeting papers are over 500 pages, but then I know it's policies and things like that. So then,
because it does depend on the meeting. If you've got finance reports and things like that,
the time of the year, what type of meeting
policies,
it is.
Sometimes you can have tons of policies, you know, and they end up with the 500. I call that a reamer paper.
I think that
you might as well give me a reamer paper.
I think that knowledge comes when you've been with the school for a period of time, because if your first meeting,
if
you have your first meeting and the first time you're having a meeting and you see the papers are over 100, 200, 300 pages, that can be very overwhelming for a new governor. But if
you haven't had a proper induction process,
yes, that's so true.
Because when I'm delivering induction, all of my governors for schools have an induction with me.
Right. Okay.
And I walk them through the good and the bad.
You keep it real.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that they know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't panic if you get a meeting pack that's 300 pages long.
Because a chunk of it could be just it's most likely
look,
policies.
Focus on the agenda.
Yes.
Does the agenda say, and then it goes back to the importance of having a proper agenda.
Yes.
Does the agenda say for decision, for action, for information, for discussion, for approval?
I have seen that more recently because one of the schools that I am a school governor at, they use a online portal, a platform that coordinates meetings, and that's where the papers are uploaded and stuff. And more recently, and literally so recently, over the last few meetings, probably since the turn of the new year, You do see that highlighted on the agenda. It was for me, I think it's a new feature. I've not seen it before.
No.
And it so helps with strategizing how to approach those papers. Because when you see for discussion, you're like, okay, I can come back to that. But when you see for decision or approval, you then you start to prioritize which items you look at. And what I love about the agenda allows you to reference the page number. So it could be item 7 is on, it starts from page 102. So you go straight to 102 and you're scrolling. And if whilst you're scrolling, something catches your eye, that's fine. But at least you can approach it with some kind of effectiveness. And then you focus on those. And then probably towards the end, you leave the discussion, because the discussion, you could probably get more out of being in the meeting and hearing what's being said, and questions pop up that way. So I think that helps. I would love that to be on agendas.
And even, I mean, two things. I rag rate my items on my agenda. So anything that's coloured in red is for action. Anything that's amber is for discussion. And anything green is for information.
Right.
And it just allows you quickly to see,
because everyone understands a traffic light system.
And that's again just something that I sometimes I just play with layouts and things like that, because if I'm with the same school, you know, I every year the beginning of September I'll change the style or the font or whatever.
That's to keep you interested,
to keep me interested.
That's like, more for you.
Yeah. And
I don't think we're looking at the
But you can't always do that, because if you're in a trust situation where they have a corporate style and all that. Yeah, so I understand that. But where there's flexibility, I'll push the boundaries. So I do that. But in terms of policies, there's also what I do on my agendas is where possible, alongside the policy, I will say if it's been approved by the committee and it's just there for ratification, if the changes have been highlighted in red, because not all policies need to be reread.
No, you just need to because see where the changes been, have been made.
If they've been updated, and it could be a simple thing like a governor's name has been changed, or
a sentence has been reworded,
so
it's a new term. Because I know when the government releases I'm just thinking of training I've done recently around like safeguarding and child protection and stuff, and sometimes they just rephrase certain terminology. So yes, you do have to amend the policy so that it's got the most up-to-date stuff, but what you could do is
let the governors know
this is all we've changed, everything else, or 97% is still the same.
Was approved, you know, 6 months ago or 12 months ago. All that information is important.
Yes.
So, because at the end of the day, it's a governor's time.
Yes, of course.
And as you say, you want to look at the agenda and make sure that you're focusing on the things to make the meeting more efficient.
Yes.
So that you're making the decisions that need to be made.
Mm-hmm.
And anything for discussion is for discussion, and that's great. But you don't want to spend longer on things that you don't need to, both before the meeting and at the meeting. So that for me is a big thing around meeting papers.
Huge.
I want to try. And I suppose because I'm a clerk as well as a governor, I can sort of cut through the noise of some of the stuff and be very laser focused in terms of what I need to do, even if it's not immediately clear from the agenda. I will be able to look at something and go, okay, this is for discussion, or this is for information, because it may have been, you know, I might have picked it up on the DfE website, or it might have come up in a previous meeting with another school or whatever. So, you know, I may know that it's just because there's been a change in legislation or a review at DfE level, and so it's just for information rather than something that needs to be approved. But it's not always clear. I have been in meetings where, you know, people have been unsure. Is this? Do we have to approve this? Even the chair is saying, is this something that we need to approve? And it's like, you know,
you gotta know.
You've got to know that. So there's communication from the leadership team. You know, if they can say we need this for approval, or we need that this is just for discussion to let the governors know what's going on, kind of thing. It's important that triangular conversation and communication
happens. It's a relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because and then you understand how each of those three people work, the chair, the head, and the clerk, because the head manages the senior leadership team, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Then the chair is really the leader of the body, the strategic body.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you've got the clerk, who is a key coordinator. So a very important piece. So those three pieces working together in synchronization helps for the rest of the process to work. So
absolutely.
I guess one of the last things I want to ask you before we go into our takeaways is, I don't know whether you're going to give it by from the perspective as a clerk, as a professional clerk, or as a governor, but how do you then navigate late papers that may have a decision in there? When you think of, you mentioned right at the beginning about the 7 calendar days, as it would be.
Mm-hmm.
So the 7 days before the meeting, that's when it's best, because you've got to think of governor's time and not just dropping something on them too close to the meeting and expecting them to have read it. So yeah. What do you do about late papers?
That goes back to communication.
Mm-hmm.
As part of the process, and I'll answer it as a clerk,
because
I don't get involved. When I'm as a governor, I don't get involved because I'm not chair in that on that governing body. But as a clerk, part of the preparation process is your agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I will have an annual agenda plan. So, and I'm coming up to that time now. So around May, June time,
yeah,
I would usually set the dates and the agenda
mm-hmm.
for each of the meetings for the new academic year.
Okay.
So I sort of know in advance.
Yeah.
I will then draft the agenda. I usually do it about 14 days before the meeting,
okay,
based on what the plan, the agreed agenda plan was, and I will send that to the chair and the head to say, do you want to add anything,
mm-hmm.
do you want to remove anything,
mm-hmm.
and can you let me have papers by this date,
mm-hmm.
so I have a deadline. So if they come back and say yes, we need to add this in, then I will say, is that a paper, and when am I going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
If by the time the agenda and papers are due to go out, I don't have all of the papers,
right,
I still send my papers.
Right, okay. Yes.
Because to some people, they will think, oh no, I should wait.
I've experienced that
As a governor.
As a governor, where the clerk, you know you're getting closer and closer to the meeting.
Right.
And you haven't received the papers. So
if you've got 90% of the papers,
mm-hmm.
send them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the governors can start to read them.
Yes.
Whilst you're waiting for a paper that may be, what?
Three pages.
And you're going to hold up a whole meeting pack of 150 pages. Why mm-hmm. would you want to do that? So I will say to the senior leaders, the papers are going 7 days so that I'm meeting my commitment.
So you almost have your own deadline for them.
I create a deadline for them.
Or your own deadline for yourself that you work towards so that you can be on time as clerk to your
I have
your
to
board
make sure that I am following the terms of reference.
Yes.
Because the terms of reference say 7 days.
Yeah.
So my papers have to
the
go out.
The terms of reference are what you refer to when you need to know the terms.
Right. But you agree the terms of reference, you know.
They're there for a reason.
They're there for a reason.
Accountability.
Absolutely. So my papers go out mm-hmm. according to the deadline
mm-hmm.
set.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say in my covering email or on the agenda, it will say paper to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Or paper to be tabled. Because, again, the communication, if the leadership come back and say, because the information we need for this paper isn't going to be available until such a date, then the paper's going to be tabled. No problem at all.
That's fine.
I can put that on the agenda that the paper will be tabled at the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But don't expect me to hold up my papers waiting for
100%.
Especially because I'm not in school. So I don't know that you're waiting for some information
that or
is
that
out of your control or something's happened. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I will send them out. If I then get the late paper, and if it's a short paper with sufficient time, I will send it out as a separate document
mm-hmm.
to governors to say this is part of the this is the missing paper.
Mm-hmm.
I will also re-merge my document.
Okay.
so that it's in the feed.
Yeah.
But I do also send it out as a single item in case somebody has already printed, if yes. they wish, or they've already started to annotate.
Yes.
Because then you're sending them a brand new document and they've already annotated half of their document.
That is so annoying.
That's unfair.
Yeah.
So I will always send it as a single standalone,
okay.
as well as merged into version 2 of the document.
So then you leave it to the governor to decide how they want to receive that. Yeah.
If the paper doesn't come until the day before,
mm-hmm.
or say the meeting's on a Tuesday and you're sending it on a Friday, I don't send it out.
Right.
I don't send it out because it's unfair. We cannot assume that governors will read papers at the weekend.
Yes.
That's not. I've seen that happen.
Yeah.
And it's almost taken for granted.
Yeah.
You don't have the right to tell me what I do with my weekend.
And as a governor, it is very unsettling to know that you're expected to, well, it's free time, or it's, you know, you can read it on the weekend, the meeting's Tuesday and the papers come Thursday night, and you're like, hold on,
I count I count school days, and I would hate to receive papers over the weekend, mm-hmm. or just before the weekend, and be expected to be ready and have read them,
mm-hmm.
and I've been in meetings and said, I'm sorry, that came too late, I haven't read it,
mm-hmm.
and therefore I'm not prepared to make a decision on it because I haven't read it, and I've been very clear about it, especially if there's been no notice.
Yes.
Again, this doesn't negate any kind of emergency situations that may come up.
It's just to show that there's a standard, and you want to make the machine work properly, and if you let it passed once or twice.
It becomes
or three
a habit.
Times. Exactly.
It becomes so a habit,
totally,
and you do, and everything just falls down.
Yeah.
So barring emergency, I know that during the pandemic and closures and openers and all
cases,
that, there's been situations where the government have made an announcement and schools have had to react.
I get all of that.
I'm not talking about that.
No.
I'm talking about general
business practice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The habit of just sending papers out as they arrive, or sending them late, or expecting. I've not stopped meetings, but I've been very clear in meetings, no, you can't make a decision on that because governors haven't had enough time to consider,
mm-hmm.
and it's a big decision.
Mm-hmm.
I won't tell you any horror stories, but I've got some horror stories of major things that I've had to stop as clerk.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to stop from happening because I will minute that to say governors haven't had enough time,
mm-hmm.
If they pursue it, because I'm minuting the meeting,
mm-hmm.
and you can't then deny that what happened actually happened, and that's not good governance. So both as clerk and as a governor, meeting papers are very, very important.
Yes,
but
definitely.
Making sure that you have the right structure.
Yes.
For the delivery of those,
mm-hmm.
so electronic form, which is a given now,
mm-hmm.
but also think about how they are delivered electronically, is the important thing.
Very much so, very much so. So what would be your takeaway from today's discussion, either something, a final piece of advice, or something that you feels like that you may do, or you, if it's communication or the way you act within your own practices, what's your takeaway?
My takeaway has to be, for whoever puts meeting papers together, whether you are a senior leader or as clerk, please PDF them.
Please PDF. That should be on a t-shirt.
Please, like you're on mute. Yeah. Please PDF them. Before you send them,
mm-hmm.
before you send senior leaders, PDF your documents before you send them to your clerk and clerks. If for any reason they're not PDF'd, PDF them. If you can merge them, even better.
Yeah.
That takes it one step further.
Yeah, I agree with that. But what I would say my takeaway would be, or my request would be, to really consider the recipient and your governors, and in that, the feature of identifying on the agenda where decisions need to be made,
yes.
what is discussion, what is just for information. I love that concept. I'm so glad one of my schools brought that in, because it really does help, particularly with the larger meeting packs. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And probably a second one, if I can, what you said in terms of the importance of induction.
Yes.
With governors. And so especially if you've got new governors or a group of new governors, or even just a single person, so that they're not overwhelmed by that first meeting.
Yeah,
you know, they should really, you know, in your inductions, really think about walk them through the process
everything.
Of leading up to a meeting, before the meeting, during a meeting, after a meeting, if there is any after activity.
Yeah.
So I think the really look at that induction process for governors and make it real.
Yeah.
Make
keep
it very real.
Keep
it very,
very
real.
Real.
Very
yeah.
real. That really helps. So yeah, meeting papers.
Who knew?
Who knew you could speak for so long about meeting papers? But yeah.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. Please rate, review, and subscribe via your preferred streaming platform. The Governors Podcast is a brand of the legal entity Education Governance Solutions Limited, and a free training resource for anyone. So if you know someone who is interested in becoming a governor or a trustee, please share this podcast with them. And if you'd like to get in touch with us directly with questions or comments, then drop us an email at thegovernorspodcast@gmail.com.
You can also follow us on social media platforms at The Governors Podcast. Let's connect.